Here's part two on our talk about bad feminism.
What were other...
I'm trying to think of other ones. How We All Lose, I thought, was a good article as well. A good essay. I should call them essays, not articles.
I know. I'm going to keep calling them articles because right? I'm a trash human.
Well, I think a lot of these were actually posted, I think, like, on online publications and stuff like that. And then she just compiled them all and was like, oh, cool. I'm just going to put out a fucking book. And now it's a New York Times bestseller. Yeah, I think that was a really good article because a lot of what she does is she kind of takes down some past pieces of writing and kind of calls them out. Like, there's a book by Hannah Rosen, I think, or Rosen, how do you pronounce that, called The End of Men and the Rise of Women.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of what one of Gay's quotes, like, literally in this thing is a... What does it even mean to suggest that the fall of men is explicitly connected to the rise of women? Which, that's a really good question, because I think there is certainly this...
Well, we all learned in science, causation does not exactly equal correlate... Fuck everything.
Try it again.
Causation does not equal correlation.
There you go. Knocked it out that time.
We can keep that whole stuttering thing in.
Yeah, we'll leave it.
It'll
in
make
there.
Me endearing.
It builds character.
As a gross human.
Oh, no. Don't say that about yourself.
That's true.
I think... A lot of what Gay's argument was against that, it definitely rings true to an extent, I think. And this is the part where you go on Tumblr and you could see a million people disagreeing with her on this, probably, where it's like, well, we need this, like, the fall of men, like, women will rise and all this kind of stuff, which I think, like, sure.
To, like, a certain extent.
To an extent, but it doesn't mean that one group has to fucking plummet to, like, the bottom of the earth for things to be okay. Like,
I think if we're not working in harmony, we're fucking failing.
Right.
Which is where we're at now.
Right.
We're failing.
We're failing really hard. Things are not going so hot these days.
And granted, this is me, you know, coming from a place of white privilege. I definitely think the playing field needs to be evened out for the people that have been... put upon the most by this country.
Mm-hmm.
Queer folk, people of color, women, etc.
Right.
And I think that the evening out of the playing field will solve some issues, but not all of them. It'll fill some holes, but other things are going to have to take hard work from the group that's remaining stagnant.
Sure.
So, men.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so while the playing field is evening out from people who have faced oppression their entire lives for something or another, you know, the dudes have to be like, all right, well, we have to work on not grabbing ass in the workplace, and we have to work on making bathrooms more accessible to everyone. Like,
clearly very challenging things to address.
Stuff
incredibly, incredibly difficult. You know, sometimes... You know, like, what the fuck, what are they supposed to do? You know?
It blows my mind sometimes.
No,
I'm like, you could just not do the thing that they asked you not to do. Like, that could just be a fucking
exactly.
thing. Like,
it's not that hard.
I don't like it when this dude calls me sweetie at work. So I said, hey, could you just call me, you know, Emma? My name's not sweetie. He's like, well, can't even talk to a person now. Well, no, you fucking can talk to me, but I'm going to ask you not to fucking call me sweetie.
Right.
Sir.
Yeah.
You can't see it, but I just flipped
the off the air, kind of mark the ceiling, I guess. Something up there.
It's a very interesting thing. It's like, I'm not asking you to change who you are as a person.
Yeah.
I'm just saying what you're doing makes me uncomfortable.
Sure.
And instead of getting defensive about it, I'm not personally attacking you. I'm just saying, hey, just so you know, this may be a cause of discomfort for others. It's definitely for me. Just don't.
I can explain why they take it badly.
Why?
Dudes are fragile, apparently. Like, I think it's a legitimate thing where, like, guys take things very offensively because a good friend of mine who lives in Milwaukee, she, I remember, like, 2 or 3 years ago, she posted something on Facebook where she was like, can this guy at my job, like, stop fucking telling me to smile more often? To smile more. Why aren't you smiling? Like, shit like that. And, like, he took it apparently really badly. I think she eventually told him, like, hey, like, could you not do that? Could you just not keep telling me to smile? And I think, like, at the end of the day, there, like, a lot of guys have, like, an ulterior motive. There's a reason why they're saying these things. There's a reason why they're making these weird passes, these weird comments.
Comfort.
And that, and they look at it as like rejection when you tell them like, hey, don't do that. And it's like, guys aren't good with rejection, apparently.
Well, I think it's because we never teach them about it. I would say, because like, girls learn how to handle rejection.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't. That sucks.
That sucks. Let's go.
If you work harder than Nancy, one day you too will do great things. But like, so girls are taught to climb all over each other and fight tooth and nail.
Mm-hmm.
But also be graceful when rejection arrives. Sure. It's like, if that no does come to you, you just go, okay. And you don't let them see how badly it hurt you, mm-hmm. but you accept it, you accept that no gracefully and you move on with your life.
Sure.
And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I almost think that guys are taught that if you hear the word no, then you try and find a workaround until you hear the word yes.
Absolutely.
Which is alarming.
Right. No, totally. Yeah.
Like, it has its benefits in like, I would like to learn, you know, geometry, and I'm struggling with it, so I'm going to work really hard until I get it. That's okay. But it has toxic undertones for other shit in society that I think, and I think there's not the, you know, the differentiation, like, this is cool in this arena. This is not a cool mindset to have in literally every other arena.
Right.
So I think, yeah, fragile.
Yeah. Fragile. Also, like, a disinterest in holding themselves, like, accountable.
Because I don't think you guys have to as much.
Right. Because, I mean, when you think about it, like...
your fuck-ups are like, well, he'll get it right next time.
Whoops, yeah, things happen. I mean, like, on, like, a larger scale, like, fuck-ups is, like, rape and sexual assault. Those kind of things where, for a long time, it's like, here, women, here is how to prevent getting raped.
Yeah.
When really the dialogue should be, yo, don't rape people.
Yeah.
Don't do shitty things. Like, yeah. That's okay. You can just not do that.
Yeah. If you're telling me the only way you're going to get any ass is if that person is incoherent, I'm going to tell you have a fucking problem.
Right.
Nope.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It's that. It's
if you're that bad with women, maybe take a look at how you're treating women
mm-hmm.
and dial it back from there.
Totally.
Because I promise we're not all monsters. I am, but.
The underlying issue, too, is that, like, it's kind of what we already talked about, I think, is mm-hmm. that guys aren't ever really, there's no sense of accountability, and also is very much, like, a lack of progress. Like, when you think about it, guys have never had to fight for anything. Women had to fight for voting rights,
mm-hmm.
You know, equality in pay, things like that. Whereas guys, boys will be boys.
Yep.
You know, this is how they are, you know?
And it's so, like, it's pretty common to hear a woman say, yep, feminist. It's... less common, more common now, but still not as common to have a guy just be like, yeah, totally, I'm a feminist. That's yeah. cool. And then not have to tell you everything that's wrong with your feminism.
Right. Totally.
And I think, I do think that dudes can be feminists, but they have to also realize this is not your fucking movement. Do not try and commandeer it. If someone tells you that they feel a certain way about an aspect of, you know, the dude culture, listen.
Right.
I would say. I know that makes me mean.
No, you're good. Yeah, don't like, not all men.
Oh my God. First of all,
it's really funny. It's bad, but it's kind of funny.
If you're feeling like you need to fall into a Twitter hole, get on a not all men hashtag and just kind of go for it, because you might regret it. You probably won't.
You'll regret it.
You'll feel shitty.
It hurts a little. But, you know, it's goofy enough, I think. Yeah, it's definitely a thing. Like, again, it goes back to what we were saying earlier. It's like any time that men are criticized,
they take it very personally.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, well, you can talk about the general population of men or even, like, a specific group of men. Like, let's say... Mm-hmm. You're at a school and like you have a class, there's a bunch of like shitty like dude bros there who are like being creepy, hitting on you, or just saying like some really gross stuff. Like, you make, God, men are disgusting, and that's totally fine. Like, it's like, it's a valid thing. It's like, yes, not all people, not all men, quote unquote, are shitty, but like the general population is, especially like in this specific instance.
Well, and I think when we say shit like men are shitty, it's because we see this toxic behavior and we don't see men calling each other out for it.
Right.
We don't see like, hey, dude, maybe don't talk about her pussy in the locker room.
Right.
Type deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's always like,
well, it's locker room talk.
Hmm. I mean, you know, maybe you shouldn't say that. Nah, dude.
Right.
Stand up and be like, how old are we? Are we still, we're still talking like this.
Exactly.
Okay, that's cool. I'm gonna go over here and get a sandwich. Like,
that's the thing is, I think guys are afraid to call out other guys on that kind of stuff. Because they're afraid of conflict. They're afraid of things being awkward or weird. And that's things it shouldn't, like, if you're gonna tell a friend of yours, hey, don't objectify a woman, don't say X, Y, and Z thing, or if you're at a bar and he's like hitting on her and she's clearly not having it, if you're like, hey, reel it back, dude, you know,
I don't think she's interested, and that's okay.
And that's okay. It's, it's not, if your friend is going to be someone who's going to feel like hurt and attacked and not talk to you for a fucking week over it, they're not a good friend.
No.
They kind of suck, actually. And that's like, we all have shitty friends sometimes. You get rid of them, and then you move forward and you have better friends. And at the end of your life, you know, hopefully you look back and go, I had a lot of good friends. And a couple shitty ones, but they're mostly good.
And hopefully they have learned from their shitty behaviors.
Yeah.
Maybe not, but... And,
exactly. If your friends are not willing to grow from the advice you give them or the critiques you provide, like, clearly they don't want to change as a person. That's who they're going to be.
That's going to be a one-sided friendship for you.
Exactly.
You're going to be doing all the heavy lifting.
Yeah. Friendships are tough. They're weird.
I hate them. Yeah. I'm just kidding. I love my friendships.
Podcast is a friend.
Podcast is my
own. It's the only friend.
What other articles?
I'm trying to think of what else we got here.
Flipping through.
Yeah, flip through a little bit.
I enjoyed the spectacle of broken men.
That was a good one.
We're going to do some post-Super Bowl-osity.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can find it. She didn't attack it in the way that I fully expect feminist women writers to attack football.
Right.
Because I'm... definitely, like, my brothers played their whole lives. They're mm-hmm. still playing. One of them's coaching.
Yeah.
I've been to a lot of football games in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of stuff I agree with. I think that if you fundamentally coach the game well, you are going to have a good team. And as long as you put the correct emphasis on the O-line and the D-line, and you make sure they work in harmony, blah, 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 you're going to have a winning football team.
Yep.
But I also recognize that, you know, in that Freakonomics episode that everyone has heard.
I haven't heard it.
Oh.
I never
listened. It was in their first book, I believe, where they talk about making a dangerous game safer.
Mm-hmm.
And in making football safer, you know, with updated helmets and pads, they actually made it more dangerous because you could collide with people head on. Whereas before, when they were wearing leather helmets, you weren't going to do that because you might snap your
exactly.
fucking neck.
Yeah.
So it was very, not fun, but it was very illuminating to read her take on it because I know where I stand. I think it's a very violent game.
Yeah. Even like I watched the Super Bowl by some strange twist of fate. I usually don't watch football. I haven't in a while. Like I'll watch it from afar. I'll get my notifications on my phone if the Packers win. But otherwise, I don't really pay attention to it. Yeah. So watching the Super Bowl, I was like, holy shit, this is terrifying. People are getting hurt.
Yep.
Some guy left the game in like the first quarter with a concussion, I think. Mm-hmm. I was like, what the fuck just happened here?
And it's, you know, I have mainly watched from like a high school and Division III college. So like nowhere near like hyper professional, you know, NFL level. But I do think what she talks about, there's something kind of wrong with the way we teach sports with a win at all cost mentality.
Yeah.
Cause that goes back to being toxic with people.
Mm-hmm.
That'll bleed into your regular life.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think if you're not, have the drive, absolutely. But if you're not fundamentally good enough, you're probably not going to win.
Yeah.
If you haven't done the drills over and over and over again. And I'm not talking about like seeing red or like bleeding your own blood for this team. I'm talking about doing the drills until you want to throw up or you do throw up.
Mm-hmm.
because there is a certain, she goes into detail about, you know, there's a certain amount of things that professional athletes get away with,
mm-hmm.
which we all know. We've seen the papers.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, read the headlines. I think the one that comes to mind is probably Aaron Hernandez, because it's
of course, yeah,
one of the most recent.
Yeah.
And when you read it, it's almost like this sad letter, because you can feel that she pities these guys
mm-hmm.
that have to wear not only a uniform for a team, which is fine, but wear a character that they aren't.
Right.
And act out macho behavior that we're no longer catering to.
Right.
You know? So I really liked, I thought that was a beautiful, beautiful one. I'm trying to find some of the quotes that I've got. Because it was, she also took a turn and like talked a lot about the Penn State, Jerry Sandusky,
Joe Paterno
stuff. And the idea of covering up stuff.
Yeah.
And it was just, that was one of those essays that I was like, I really want to talk about this, but I don't know what to say about it, except that it was very moving to read.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't directly attacking the institution of football, but she was chipping away at unhealthy attitudes and coping mechanisms and belief systems that really only bring you down.
Right.
Which I thought was nice.
Yeah, totally. No, it was a good article. I'm the same note. Like, I don't really, it's kind of mostly like you lose words. Like, even when you're reading, you're just like, fuck, like, you know, but if anything, we should just, like, link to that maybe.
Yeah.
But like, you know, cause I'm sure it's online somewhere. I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Dig it up. And it's worth reading. I mean, like,
I enjoyed that one.
If you don't end up buying the whole collection of essays, which you should, because I think even if I didn't really agree with Gay on a lot of her, I wouldn't even say a lot of her points, like some of her points, I didn't totally align with her. I think it's still worthwhile because she backs up what she's saying really well, like consistently. Mm-hmm. And like, some of it's very personal. Like, I mean, that's what I think was so interesting, is like the first section of the book, I think it's just called Me. And it's just like stuff about her experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Then she dives into stuff that we can all try to relate to a little bit more. Then it ends again with her going back to herself in a way, which I really appreciate that. That was awesome.
I also don't feel at any time during the book, I didn't feel like she was trying to get me to believe what she believed. I felt like she was definitely like, hey, here's what I've got. Here's a persuasive argument. Do what you want with it, because I'm not here to fucking teach you anything.
Right. And the essays,
I appreciate
totally,
that.
Like, yeah, totally. And like, the end of the essays so often end on a note where like, you don't feel like she's, again, it's what you said, she's not trying to convince you anything. She's presenting facts and arguments, make, all right, do what you want to do with it. If you agree, great. If you don't agree, like, okay, that's cool too. But like, recognize there is a reason people feel this way about this topic, you know? Which is kind of awesome, I think.
And I feel, especially nowadays, it's kind of nice to read things that you're like, oh, I'm coming down on, you know, the opposite opinion. If this were a debate, you've taken this stance, I would take the other one.
Sure.
And it's kind of nice to come down and be like, okay, cool. Glad we read this through, because I may still not agree with you. I may think you're still wrong, mm-hmm. but I'm glad that I took the time to read your points, and there's no vitriol.
Mm-hmm.
We don't hate each other now that we've, you know, we haven't had a discussion. I'm reading a fucking book, but like, now that I've been exposed to a viewpoint that's not my own, I can grow as a person rather than remain a tiny human.
Right. So I guess to kind of wrap this up.
Yes.
How do we think that Atwood and Gay both like view like feminism, like where it is today? Because again, I guess like I repeat like four or five times now, like fourth wave feminism,
mm-hmm.
very much like tied in with like social media.
Yes.
So to them, what is like good feminism in their eyes versus, because they both address bad feminism as basically being like good feminism in a way.
I feel like they think that feminism just is. It's not good or bad.
Right.
And people, like we said earlier, they want to classify it, you know, good or bad, black or white.
Yeah.
False, true. And like, I think you can't do that. There are aspects of feminism that have come to the front. It's like, yo, this needs to be different because we've got to help.
Mm-hmm.
Intersectionality is now way more important than it was back in the day.
Totally, yeah.
Which is as it should be. Mm-hmm. And I think that the only way you can be a truly bad feminist is if you keep other women from making the decision they want to make.
Right.
And granted, I think if the decision that person wants to make is going to negatively affect a lot of people, yeah, maybe they shouldn't make that decision.
Sure.
So then you have that paradox. Like,
yeah.
But I definitely think that in their eyes, a bad feminist is technically a good one.
Right. It's what you said. It's not black and white. It's not like, you know, these like polar opposites where like you're either good or you're bad. It's like it's a larger term. It mm-hmm. doesn't need to be separated into different things. I think there are different ways that you can approach it. There are, you know, Atwood obviously is opposed to certain things like going online and, you know, it's like kind of like mob mentality against this dude before facts were known about what happened. In the same way that Roxane Gay was kind of opposed to the idea of like trigger warnings and mm-hmm. things that kind of hold society back. But it goes back to what you said about why you liked Bad Feminists, like the essays from Roxane Gay, is that you can walk away from it and be like, hey, we just look at it differently, but we have the same objectives.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of, at the end of the day, that's what good, I mean, it's not what good feminism is because we're ditching the idea of good or bad, but it's what it should be, which is like respecting and being able to be like, hey, we don't agree of like maybe how we're going to get to where we're going to get, but we both want to get somewhere and we're going to work to get to there together, you know?
And I think it's ultimately damaging to a movement like feminism to say, oh, everyone has to agree on everything, because mm-hmm. that's not a movement. That's a cult.
Yeah.
I'm going to just sound the alarm bells right there. If everyone's telling you have to agree on everything and clap after everything, you're already in the deep state.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
Mm.
That was close.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
I highly recommend these two pieces that we've discussed today, though.
Definitely.
Bad Feminist and Am I a Bad Feminist? Question mark.
Am I?
By Margaret Atwood and Roxane Gay.
Yeah. I think, wrapping this up, because we've hit an hour almost.
Editing's our friend.
Yeah, yeah. Probably split into two parts if we want.
Yes.
There's a good middle point where we can, I'm sure. My goal is always to be like, okay, what do we want to talk about next time? And we didn't really go into that with that idea. So is there any stuff like in recent, news, anything that you want to address? Or are you kind of just like open to talking about whatever next time?
I am open to talking about whatever. Something that has caught my eye has been gerrymandering. So
sure.
If we want
to... That'd be... Yeah, I'm totally down to talk about that. We can...
That'd be fun.
Yeah, I think for me, it's like that, definitely, because just yesterday, or 2 days ago, was it? That the whole like, Pennsylvania deal with like district maps being drawn in like a really shitty way.
Mm-hmm.
Pennsylvania GOP members were like, oh, well, fuck this. We're not redrawing these maps. And the Supreme Court's like, oh, actually, no, fuck you. You are. So we can take that on. I think almost in a way going along with what we talked about this time, like the Uma Thurman stuff with her and Quentin Tarantino.
I would love to talk about Uma.
The toxic nature of the artist-muse relationship is always something that I thought was very interesting.
We can cover a lot with the toxic nature. Absolutely. We can cover some...
There's some fucked up shit out there.
Some fucking Woody Allen, if we want to jump into that pool of mediocrity.
Yeah, right. I don't like Woody Allen.
Dude.
As a filmmaker.
I don't either.
He's not that good. Like, he really isn't. Like, I've only seen a handful of his movies, but all of them I was like, eh.
I did a Woody Allen play in college, and we had homework. And I just remember, I watched all these movies, and I was like, this dude is the most self-centered piece of shit I have ever encountered in my entire life. And I don't care about him, which I guess we could say goes back to likability, but there was something creepier about his films.
Totally. Absolutely.
That's just how I feel about Woody Allen, though.
Yeah. I think we started making this at a good time because there's a lot of really shitty stuff happening in the world that's worth like talking about.
I want to talk about the shitty stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I guess we'll hold off until next time to take on gerrymandering and maybe Uma Thurman, or we push that one back, or maybe we just do two shorter ones on both those topics.
Hey, we might even have a sneak peek intro episode that'll let you know what we're getting down with.
True, yeah, it's good thinking. Alrighty, so that'll wrap that up then, I guess.
Cool. Sick. Thanks for listening with us, to us,
to
around us.
Yeah. Yeah. Some good rambling today.
I'm into it.
Mm. Later, folks.
Later.